103.2 Dublin City FM. Friday, 3 p.m. Gardeners all over the world listening to The Sod Show with Peter Donegan. One of 3.2 Dublin City FM, The Sod Show for another Friday here in Dublin. And you might also be catching us on repeat on Monday. Good afternoon to you. It's Brian Green and Peter Donegan and David Corscadden. And you can contact us at Sod Show on Twitter, The Sod Show on Facebook, and sodshow.com for our back catalogue of shows. Coming up on today's programme, A Garden in the Sky. We talk to an urban rooftop gardener, Andrew Douglas, and we'll be talking with, for the first time, and we hope to have a few instalments from him, farmer Simon Kenny and Ruth from Kildare. That's all coming up in a moment here on The Sod Show. First, with thanks to our sponsors, greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. Last week I asked you to check them out on the internet. They're at greensacks.ie. Did you go and check them out? I hope you did. On with today's programme. This is our first instalment from Naas, County Kildare, with farmer Simon Kenny. I've been pronouncing his Twitter handle wrong for a couple of years now on Twitter, and I've just decoded that it's simply Farmer Simon K on Twitter. And you might also like to note that on YouTube he is available at Farmer Simon K too, because I'll have notes on that in a couple of moments. But Simon has set up a polytunnel and he's going to tell you a bit about how that has been going.
Hello, Sodshow listeners. You have not heard us before, but I am Simon, and this is
Ruth. Hello.
And we are a young couple down in County Kildare who are just in our first year of trying to grow things, vegetables, flowers, and whatever. We're speaking to you from within our polytunnel, which we put up this year. First of all, the layout of it, I think we'll talk about. Just give you a brief. It's not all straight lines and sections for the different types of plants. It's kind of, we're going for the jungle theme.
Biodiversity.
Oh yes, biodiversity. It seems to be working out well enough, except that sometimes it's hard to figure out which are the weeds. It kind of, we have to let the weeds come up a bit before we pull them. What have we got in here, Ruth?
We have 3 varieties of tomatoes so far. Don't ask me to name them. Cornflowers, marigolds, loads of things. We have peas and basil, sweet peppers, lipstick peppers, 1 onion, a good few nasturtiums, and lots of quinoa. We're growing lots of quinoa this year.
Yes, we don't know how anything will do, but so far, a lot of the stuff is going well. Some of the tomato plants, it looks a bit hit and miss. It's kind of, we either have tomatoes or we have flowers. There doesn't seem to be many tomatoes starting to form. I guess we're having trouble with pollination. We're trying to attract the bees in with the flowers, and we're getting the odd bee, but then they kind of panic and don't know how to get out. So we're still trying to work that out. We're learning every day. Everything we do or want to know, we're jumping on the internet, figuring things out. One recommendation was to shake the tomato plants, because supposedly they pollinate in the wind. So we've been giving them a shake for the last few days, so we'll see what happens with that. So that's kind of the lowdown, the polytunnel. We're still working on soil structure. It's fresh soil. We dug off the sod for the first year and just used the clay that was underneath. It's out in the field, so the clay is nice enough, but we're going to have to work on mulching and getting our nutrients back in for next year. So it's all a learning curve. We have our compost heap started. Yeah, It's great fun, though. I'm addicted.
Are you?
Indeed.
Cool. Well, hopefully we'll keep you updated. And thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Bye.
Thanks, Ruth. Thanks, Simon. Absolutely wonderful. And what you've got to do is check them out on YouTube, because they've got parts 1, 2 and 3 of Building the Polytunnel in video. So that's at youtube.com/FarmerSimonK. And you can see it all happen there. I never met Ruth and Simon. Well, I did and I didn't. They were at the Spirit of Folk last year, Spirit of Folk 2, and I was there too. And you know when you're too shy to go up and meet somebody? Well, it was a bit like that, except it wasn't that I was shy to meet them. It was that they're so in love, I didn't want to interrupt them. So that's why I didn't actually meet them. But they were there and I was there and we acknowledged each other. And now they're on the Sod Show. And I hope I haven't embarrassed them. Absolutely wonderful. We look forward to further installments to see how those bees are getting into that polytunnel and pollinating what needs pollinating in a polytunnel. 103.2 Dublin City FM, Song of the Week. Highest charting single ever for OMD, Sailing on the Seven Seas, from the 1991 album Sugar Tax. 103.2 Dublin City FM, The Sod Show. Reach us at Sod Show on Twitter, The Sod Show on Facebook, and sodshow.com for the back catalogue of shows back to day one. Brought to you in association with greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. And it's time for the interview with Peter Donegan. And this week, Peter is talking with Andrew Douglas. And imagine this, a garden in the sky, an urban garden above the buildings. Dublin City is alive and growing.
103.2 Dublin City FM and Ireland's Best Podcast 2012. It is indeed the Sod Show. You would not believe it if I told you. See if you can get a listen to this. And what I'm looking at, in short, is like a big bathtub with what seem to be goldfish in the bottom. And then on top of that, there's a shelf and I see basil and I see parsley, I see rosemary and I see other plants growing and they're under lights and there's fans. And I'm not really too sure in my company, whoever to explain that to me is.
Mr. Andrew Douglas.
Andrew, what am I looking at? Can you describe it a little bit better than me?
What you're looking at here is what we call the Aqua Lab. It's part of the urban farm indoor growing space area. So this is an aquaponics system. So basically what we've done here is we're merging aquaculture and hydroponics. Now, the big problem with aquaculture is that the water, we're farming fish and plants in a closed-loop symbiotic system. So the real basic of it is the fish fertilize the plants, and the plants clean all the nitrates out of the water and return the water clean to the fishes. So they both work together. We also sort of have a whole technical side to this. So our plants and our fish actually send out tweets. They're tweeting fish and tweeting plants. And the whole system's online also. So I can actually control my aquaponics system here through my smartphone. So it's quite easily done. So really what we're doing is we're composting the fish waste. Now, you see on our display here, we have goldfish in here. Back at the urban farm in the city center, we have trout and tilapia. So we're farming them as an edible food source. Now, these systems are very prevalent in third world developing countries where there's a certain water scarcity. So the fact that the guys can set up one of these systems, and it's all from recycled materials as well. So they can set this up. It only uses 5% of the water you'd normally use in soil-based irrigation because we're recirculating our water. So you're farming your produce and your protein all in the one system.
You've used a lot of big words in there, but again, just to backtrack ever so slightly, and I know there's some of you in podcast land listening to this, you're walking down the street and you're going, what language is he talking at all? But it is a water bath on a shelf system. Water bath is at the bottom, and then the upper level is the herbs.
Yeah, well, what you're looking at here is it's actually called an IBC container, International Bulk Container. So these are all over the world. They send food-grade materials all over the world in these. So this one actually started its life in Germany, and it contained baby's essence. Now, that was imported here by Diageo up to their Nangor Road facility in Dublin. They took all the Bailey's essence out of it, and then basically they scrapped the 1,000-litre tank and cage. So instead of scrapping the cage, we've upcycled it and turned it into an aquaponic system. So yes, you are looking at a 600-litre fish tank below, and then on top here we have a 250-litre grow bed. Now, as I said, our water from the fish tank below is pumped into the grow bed on top. What happens up here is the natural occurring bacteria break the ammonia down into nitrites and nitrates, and the plants use that to grow. So it's a fully 100% upcycled, sustainable water recirculating system. Lots more big words for you there. If you want to go onto our website, urbanfarm.ie, all our links and information is there also. And I don't know if you managed to catch us on the Local Heroes TV show during the week. We also have a 400 square meter rooftop garden where we're growing organically. Now, one of our main ethoses at the urban farm is that we upcycle and recycle all our materials. So we use a lot of blue barrels, water cooler bottles, pallet wood. And we bring this all up onto our rooftop, deconstruct it, and reconstruct it into garden planters with all our different produce. So on the rooftop, we have 160 different types of potato growing. That's one of our projects. And then we also have a lot of blue barrels, which are vertical growing. We do a lot of vertical growing because we're limited for space on our rooftop. So if we grow up, it increases the amount of food we can grow.
I think we've interviewed what some people, and I have described them as the ultimate people who went to Woodstock and then kind of never really grew up. I think I was kind of quasi one of them. I had the long hair. I did do the whole horticulture in college thing. And then I realized it's probably better for everybody that I looked a little bit smarter when I knocked on people's doors and said, can I build your garden for you? You're kind of like that ultimate tree hugger, except you've got a degree in very long words. Is that a fair description? Is that far off the mark?
That's a very fair description. I have quite a big book of words up in my head here. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's all about growing food, inspiring people, and instigating other urban food growing projects. One of our real main things is that we encourage other people to take over derelict sites, brownfield sites, rooftops, anywhere that is being forgotten about, but it could be used to grow food in. So we hopefully, people will come and visit us up on our farm. We have tours every Wednesday and Thursdays, and people come up every Wednesday and Saturday, and people can come up and see all the different types of materials we're using, see that it costs absolutely nothing to do these type of things because we're basically getting all our materials for free. They're all would otherwise end up in landfill. So a hippie, yes.
You are also
a new age hippie.
You know, you meet Jim down the pub or Mary and you say, what do you do for a living? Well, I'm an accountant. Oh, what do you do? I studied horticulture is my easy answer. When you get asked what you do for a living, I mean, how do you answer that? Like, is there one description that fits it?
I inspire. No, well, what I really do, I have a day job also. I work as a film and sound engineer in film and television, so that kind of pays for the whole urban farm project. And then in the evening time and weekends, we work on the project. During the day at the farm, we have different volunteers come in and work on the project also. What was the question again? What do I see myself as, or how do I tag myself as a name, a mantle? I don't know, the urban farmer, I suppose. The urban farmer up on the rooftop.
The people,
crazy
is sometimes a good thing as well. But I mean, is where your mates are kind of going, no, I have to go play feng shui. I must go and touch the golf course.
They're
I have to, you know, did they giggle when they hear what you're at, or when you're trying to explain it after a few points?
No, well they're pretty much tired of me speaking about it, because, you know, every time I do turn around, it is something to do with the urban farm. If it's talking about our mushroom project, where we collect coffee waste from inner city cafes and grow mushrooms on it, or if it's about our recirculating aquaponic systems, where we're farming fish and plants in a closed loop symbiotic system, or if it's maybe just about the 400 square meter rooftop we have, where we're utilizing all sorts of waste materials and upcycling them into growing food. I'm constantly talking about these things, so they have a lot of fingers and ears sometimes, and especially when I have a few pints, I'm even more zealous, and I'll actually go out into the foray and just mingle and just talk to anybody about it, because that's what it's all about. It's all about talking about it, getting the idea out there, getting other people inspired and on the right track to growing food and being a little bit more self-sufficient, or, you know, just, it's the whole holistic approach to it as well, you know. I've never been happier than when I'm up on the rooftop there in my dungarees, my straw hat, walking around the garden, you know. It certainly is a pleasurable place to be. It's one of the most inhospitable places to grow food as well, though, because you get full sun and full wind. So it's kind of a crazy place to try to do something like this. But again, as I say, it's such a highlight. It's a great way to highlight a project like this by being on a rooftop, because people don't get up onto roofs. You know, and it's such a view up there to be able to see all this food growing. And even from our rooftop, we can look around at the other rooftops in the area that are derelict and have nothing on them. And, you know, we can see how maybe in a few years' time, maybe in a few months' time, people are in these buildings, will see our rooftop, see the food we're growing, and go, hey, I'm going to do that on my rooftop.
Climatically, your rooftop reminds me a little bit of what the lads go through, maybe I say go through climatically, on Inishmore, a place that's extremely beautiful but open to all of the elements, and I mean all of them in all their glory. At the same token, part of what you're saying reminds me of when I was in Madeira, and Madeira, beautiful place as it is, but the bit I'm referring to for those who have been there is, as you walk down a staircase, there's a little bit of where we would cement it in, let's say it maybe measures 1 inch at one end, runs about 14 foot, and it might be 6 inches at the top, and every single bit of it is planted up and plantscaped, and it is an absolute haven for horticultural nutcases like myself, who like to go on holidays to look at more plants. Is there a bit where you find that people look at this and go, sure, okay, he's a bit potty, yeah, he's a bit nuts, yeah, he's also very inspiring, I'm going to go and get a window box and start there? Because you have to start somewhere.
Indeed, you have to start somewhere. You know, I mean, when one plant seeds, one must water them, you know. So I mean, that's the whole project, is about planting the seed of the idea of growing food in people's heads, you know. So it's not good enough that they just come up and have a look at it. We also run workshops, and we go out and we do other sort of urban food growing projects in the city, and we collaborate with different community groups and schools and so forth. I've forgotten the question.
It's been a long weekend. It has indeed. It'll be as long as the next one. People want to get in touch, and you did note that, you have got your own website, that's great, yeah. But you did note that the plants will let the Twitter account know.
Yes.
Can people follow that Twitter account? What will they see, or what will the plants say to them if they follow it?
Well, basically, they'll see the fish saying thanks for all the worms when they get fed, and they'll see the plants saying thanks for all that lovely water. We're a bit thirsty, you know. So they can find the Twitter page through our urbanfarm.ie website. And you can get hooked up there, and eventually then, maybe in about 3 or 4 weeks, the whole system will be live online. And it's also hooked up to controllers in the United States. So there's four classrooms in Oakland, California that have the same aquaponics system, which is also online. So in theory, our aquaponics system at the Urban Farm becomes a classroom for the kids in the classes in the States, and their aquaponics systems in their classrooms become a classroom for us over in Dublin. So, I mean, you can see that we have tilapia and trout in our system at the Urban Farm. The guys over in the school kids in America, they have catfish and barramundi. So they're growing different types of plants, you know. So you can see which ones work and the different temperature rates, the different EC and humidity controls and everything else. It's all about encouraging children to grow as well, and just encouraging the idea of it. I probably shouldn't say this, but I find soil growing very boring. It's a very static thing, you know. I'm into bells and whistles, tweeting fish, tweeting plants. If you do something like that, you know, it just broadens the whole thing. And we have internet and Wi-Fi all around us here, you know. So it's about introducing all that new technology that's just really been created in the last few years. I mean, the main smartphone has only been on the market for about 6 or 7 years, you know. So, I mean, there's a whole new generation of gadgets and gizmos that can help us control this. I mean, so I'm at work and I'm worried about the fish or the plants. I go online onto my smartphone and I can see the system, and I can see that the pumps are running and that the fish are getting fed. I can see the temperature and the EC and everything else, and if there is a problem, I can turn something off on my smartphone, like the pump or maybe the lights or something. So it's, again, I'm farming from work.
We've discussed this on the show before, where famous gardeners in the UK have put out, you know, not knocking them, well done lads and the whole lot, and said that, you know, via the media, that young people should garden more, it should be part of the curriculum, they should be doing this. But there's a bit in my head that hears classical music and trombone players again, sorry to Alan if he's listening to this, but, you know, following Alan Titchmarsh around the garden, and I'm kind of going, God, there's no 11-year-old is going to do that. And his life based on that television program. And don't get me wrong, there is a demographic that watches television gardening programs as such. At the same token, you're a little bit like the nutty professor of, you know, making things just so. All I'm just waiting for is somebody to pop out of the plant bed and the whole place to blow up, and you go, ah, cloud of smoke, and then he's disappeared again. Is it that kids walk out, see you start talking about it, they see it, and they literally fall in love?
Yes, indeed. I mean, it's a very active system. When I was in school, we had a wormery, and that taught me the nitrogen cycle. Now, I'm looking at a box of dirt and worms and going, okay, you know, we figured out the nitrogen cycle. That's where it all kind of started off from. In this system, it's active. They can see the bubbles. They see the fish going around. They're told about, they're educated about the ammonia coming from the fish and how the natural bacteria break that down into the nitrates for the fish. So, as I say, it's a very active, live, tweeting, LED lights flashing, fans twirling, buttons to press aquaponic system for education, for growing food, for inspiring. And I would consider myself very much a garden boffin. As in, I pull things apart, I see how they work, and I put them back together again. And I say, if my fish can work with this, and can that work with that? Okay, merge them both together, twist it around. How can we put something? Okay, let's make them tweet. You know, so it's all. It is a bit like the nutty professor, you know. But it's all good. It's all good. It's all great.
A man who can take things apart and put them back together properly. My dad, if you're listening to this one, is probably saying, God Almighty, I wish my son had a bit of that. Sure, you could take them apart, but never did they go back together in the right way. We'll have all the links, all of the Twitter details, the whole lot for urbanfarm.ie up on sodshow.com. In the meantime, thank you so much for your time. It has been a wonderful inspiration and a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you very much. It's been very good of you. Thank you very much.
Brian, it's back to you in the studio, my man.
Thanks, Peter. Andrew, thank you very much. Urban farming. Where would you get it? Well, you can get it in Dublin at urbanfarm.ie. Check it out there. Unfortunately, urban farm tours have been suspended pending extensive regulation works requested by Dublin City Council due to the requirements. No public access is permitted to the rooftop farm space. What a shame. But you can check out everything about them, urbanfarm.ie. We often talk about urban farming as in window boxes and tin cans and things on balconies in the city. This is industrialisation of that and taking over rooftops, which just generally go unused. I am quite familiar with Dublin City rooftops because over the decades I've been up on top of a few of them with antennas and transmitters and poles and all sorts of things. And they're basically go unloved and unused. So it's nice to see somebody doing something not just good with a roof, but something bloody amazing. Well done. Check them out. I'll say the web address again, urbanfarm.ie. Dublin City FM, The Sod Show on 103.2. We have an announcement. Dublin 5 Horticultural Society is one of Ireland's premier garden clubs. They hold 3 flower shows each year and host gardening talks every 2 weeks from early October to late May. Both of the shows and talks are open to all. Their third show is over 2 days on the 17th and 18th of August and it's in Chanel College, Coolock, Dublin 5. On Saturday, it's 3 to 6 p.m. and on Sunday, it's 2 to 5 p.m. Admission is free and they're celebrating their 60th anniversary this year. We'd like to thank Paddy Kelly, Honorary Secretary, for sending in the details on that. If you can get along, it's Saturday and Sunday week, the 17th and 18th of August 2013, Chanel College in Coolock Village. Directly opposite the shops and the Ulster Bank there in the village. You can't miss it. And best of luck to them. That's about it for this week's Sod Show. We'll be back next Friday, 3 p.m. Our thanks to Simon, Kenny, Ruth, David Corscadden, Peter Donegan, Andrew Douglas. I'm Brian Green. With thanks to our sponsors, greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. Check them out on the internet, greensacks.ie. Take care. Bye-bye.